Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. If I would have told you Friday morning that Colin Kaepernick would be the biggest story of the weekend, you would have been like, what, huh? And I would tell you that that is the beauty sometimes of sport. This is one of those stories that everybody's got an opinion about it, and they either want to crush Kaepernick or this is what our country is built upon. They want to go both sides on that. I'm kind of looking at him as a football player and say he may not be a 49er this week. And does that play into everything with Colin Kaepernick? Because he hasn't played well. I mean, imagine the Cardinals. Did Drew Stanton play well yesterday? And the answer is no. You can say, well, John Brown wasn't out there and Larry Fitzgerald wasn't out there. After a while, you have to make plays with who's out there. And, you know, a guy like Colin Kaepernick, if Bruce Arians felt like, you know, our backup quarterback situation, even though we gave Drew Stanton a lot of money to stay here, isn't very good. Or, I don't know, how did all of you like watching your preseason game that you were so excited about and to see your quarterback get smoked and his helmet comes flying off and he chips a tooth in a game that didn't matter, in a game that didn't count? For those of you that get on me about, well, I can't believe you're so negative and anti-football in August, really, I mean, is there any point here to what we saw yesterday happen to Carson Palmer? Is there any point? John Harbaugh is like making big headlines. John Harbaugh says a preseason shouldn't be around after they lose Benjamin Watson. No kidding. This is like becoming one of the oldest takes ever. And yet there's still, I saw the opening shot yesterday of the stadium in Houston. Big, wide shot, stuffed to the brim. Minnesota, stuffed to the brim. Got it. It's a new stadium. By the time the game is about halfway over in Houston, it's empty. Crazy. But you know, nonetheless, it's one of my rants. The Cardinals are going to release some players today. I thought the game yesterday was actually pretty interesting. If I'm just sitting there watching football, thank God I have a DVR and I can just zip through most of it. You know what you're looking for. You're looking for five real good, strong plays to talk about. That's what happens in an NFL game, in most sporting events, actually. It comes down to about five plays. It really does, if you think about it. It doesn't matter if it's in basketball. It's going to come down to about five key plays. If it's in football, it could be 3 to 5 key plays. A couple of interceptions. There's always room for exception. The Cardinals-Packers game last year in the playoffs had more than five plays. But by and large, you'll look at a couple of stats. You'll look at a couple of numbers. And the rest of it is just making a meat sandwich. You know, you don't want to see what is all put on it. You want to just get to the meat, the heart of the matter. I did think David Johnson yesterday, it's running hard, playing well, get him off the field. Please, dear God, get him off the field. I wonder in Andre Ellington's case, because he's wanted big money here from Steve Keim. And Andre Ellington has done some nice things in training camp. But again, it's nice things in training camp, and his value is never as high as it is today. If the Cardinals are looking up and down their roster and saying, where do we have a little bit of depth? Where is there somebody that we could part ways with? Don't give me the trades don't happen often in the NFL. What was Chandler Jones? Okay. So today, as they're cutting down their roster, I do think there's some positions where they've got a little bit more depth. Do they have some depth at wide receiver? Sure. When you look at what happened in the secondary yesterday at corner, did Justin Bethel get beat on or was he just rusty? I think it's a very fair question to ask if you're going through the Cardinals game yesterday. Very fair to ask. I'm feeling good about that. Have their quarterbacks played well in these three meaningless games? And the answer unequivocally is no. Is there any concern on that front? Brandon Williams yesterday. Brandon Williams played great. I don't know. I think he's played better. I think he's played better in the last couple of weeks. I wouldn't say that I feel really good about him on opening night. But again, we're in that space where there's going to be a segment of you that says, it's only preseason, doesn't mean a thing. We're going to go out and we're going to kick New England all over the field. And then there's the other side of you that's going to say, man, this team's not good. They've looked horrible. They've got the Patriots here. Hey, Sesmat said we should play against Tom Brady. We'd be better off playing against the best. We want to see the best. I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo could beat us right now. And I'd still rather see Tom Brady. I still want best on best. It's what sports are about. Give me the best. Don't give me the Lakers without Kobe. Don't give me the Cavaliers without LeBron. Don't give me the Patriots without Tom Brady. You know, yesterday Brock Osweiler did some nice things down in Houston. But again, are we seeing anything defensively out of any of these teams at this point of training camp? And maybe that's the concern if you're Carson Palmer. Maybe that's a concern if you're Drew Stanton. The Texans aren't game planning for the Cardinals, and then they turned them over and turned them over. What did you see out of the game yesterday?
Yeah, you pretty much summed it up. I mean, the highlight, or in this case, the low light, of Carson Palmer getting ear-holed, seeing his helmet fly off, and everyone in Arizona go, oh!
Well, they're all yelling at Devin Still, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter. They could fine Devin Still. They could suspend Devin Still. Carson Palmer still has a chipped tooth. So this whole thing about, oh, it's a dirty play, doesn't matter. That's why that even emphasizes more why putting the best employees in a given business in harm's way in games that don't matter. Yesterday, that play with Carson Palmer summed it up. It's a good thing his head stayed connected to his body rather than his helmet, which rolled away.
Yeah, if you thought yesterday was worthless, wait till Thursday night in the fourth preseason game.
Why are you going?
Because we need to go.
Oh, God. Do we?
Yes.
Really?
We do.
Okay. If you insist.
We don't need to get on a
does
plane.
Does anybody need to go to this fourth preseason game?
We don't need to get on a plane and go to Houston. And we didn't need to go on a plane to go to San Diego necessarily for the game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Arian story, okay, that happened.
Yep.
That happened. No, I don't think. Seriously, anybody who's going to pay like over $100 a ticket or $75, $50. Give it to some people that don't have anything. Seriously, you're going to watch a game where most of those guys are there to absorb blows, update their demo tape, and then get cut. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
It's a money grab for the NFL. That's all these preseason games are. So, and I'm firmly in your camp. Like when the exhibition game started, there's always that little excitement.
Sure.
Of, ooh, they're in real uniforms and they're wearing real helmets and they're going to play and there's going to be real referees, but by exhibition week one, second half, it's like, all right, can we just fast forward to New England, please?
No, this week doesn't add the anticipation, does it? Does it?
I think there would be more anticipation if there wasn't a game to get in the way. I just want the build up to New England to start right now. I don't really need to hear for the next 3 days.
Well, I've been doing that the last 3 weeks.
No, I know you have. But, I mean, yeah, they have to play the fourth exhibition game against – and they'll build it out. Oh, the Super Bowl champion Broncos. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, this is
– But the thing is, when you see Carson get smoked like that and you're running the players' union, you know, they're telling the players now that in 2020, be prepared for a work stoppage. They're telling the players that. And when you talk to players privately about what's going on here in preseason.
No, they hate it.
They absolutely know that the owners have them by the balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to go out there and you just got to be put in harm's way and we don't care. And so the Cardinals are taking the tact of, well, we care about you, Larry Fitzgerald. We need you to be healthy for the start of the season. John Brown has a concussion. Need you out there. I'm watching Chandler Jones yesterday. Like, get him off the field. There's no reason. None.
Yeah, get your sack and get off the field.
Yeah, I don't care that he sacked Brock Osweiler. Oh, we got a sack. Yeah, he could have just as easily gotten his knee blown.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have guys that are in our profession that make such a big deal, take the time to show Carson Palmer getting smoked. And then ask him to his face, would you like the NFL to end preseason?
Well, and you can't blame John Harbaugh for being upset.
He should be.
Yeah.
That's the guy that you paid in the offseason. That was your premier guy.
Yeah, he's gone for the year.
Again, part of the workforce getting killed in a game or getting beat up in a game that didn't count, that didn't matter. Like, I don't know, are any of you that excited one way or the other over what happened yesterday? And I would say get off the ledge on this thing. The Texans didn't game plan and the Cardinals didn't game plan. The concern is the quarterbacks haven't played well. But, you know, I saw David Johnson run the ball well yesterday. What does it mean? David Johnson can run the ball well. That's it. There's nothing more than that. Jalen Strong caught a back shoulder touchdown. It was a nice throw to him. It was nice to see the Arizona State guys do their thing. It was. I mean, I'm more interested this week, and I'm going to get to Kaepernick here in a minute, and I've got Paula coming up at 10:35. So AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. I don't want to do the whole hour on Kaepernick because the thing on Kaepernick, it's kind of like you're Republican or you're Democrat on this deal. Either you totally wholeheartedly say, I stand for you and what you're all about, or it's the other, which I started getting run over with on Friday night. Pat Tillman would never take this stance, and that was all over social media all weekend long. The meme of the soldier who had both of his legs blown off, standing at attention in his wheelchair. And then there's the guy on the other side that said, this is what our country is based upon, where you can take a stance, even though it may not be popular. And I'm hearing both sides on this, and it does bother me quite a bit. It bothers me quite a bit that a guy would take that stance, but has he raised awareness? I'm trying to look at it on both sides, trying to be objective here, okay? I understand the people that say, I don't want that guy on my football team. I have to look at it and say, that guy on a football team can't play right now. And if the 49ers cut him, 49ers are in a really interesting position. Was it strategic by Colin Kaepernick? We'll get into that on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Also, if you're a Cowboy fan, I know you get on me about your Cowboys. You can have them. The Tony Romo story, it's so funny how people are falling all over. Oh, Dak Prescott's going to lead us. Yeah, really? That's why you're talking to Geno Smith? Got that on the other side, too. Stay with us. News and notes with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, in about 10 minutes. So the thing on Kaepernick, when I first heard the story, my initial thought had everything to do with on the football field. It was, this guy hasn't played well in a couple of years, and he's got a big contract, $16 million a year. So his timing, though, is, it seems to me, if we were to peel the onion back on this story, that the timing of him doing this, third preseason game, hasn't played well, big contract, would they blow me out of here and I could go find my way to another team? The fact that he met with his teammates, that's fine and good and dandy because not everybody's going to agree. And you may think nobody will agree with him, but there are people that do agree with him. That he does have freedom of speech. That's what our country is founded upon. And we can go through all of that back and forth. I'm going to take this story, though, just from the timing of it. So Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers play at San Diego this coming Thursday. San Diego, having grown up there, is a gigantic military town. When Roseanne Barr decided to grab her crotch during the national anthem when she was singing it, it was unbelievable, the backlash that went on there. And that was 20 years ago. So this week, there's going to be all these cameras focused on Colin Kaepernick sitting over on the bench during the national anthem. Now, is the NFL going to get involved in this? Of course they are. They're not going to want that. And whoever's carrying the game will say, we have to at least show one cutaway shot of him. And you could say, well, why doesn't he just go into the locker room and show his displeasure? You know, you don't have to come out. Was it Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, if we think back to the NBA? Remember when he was not standing attention for the anthem in the NBA? And this was years ago. This isn't anything new. It's just, it's a name face in the National Football League. If this was a backup left tackle, they would have cut him already. But if you're the 49ers and you're looking at just football, in the business of football, like if Colin Kaepernick gets released today, because cuts are coming today, and it's no sure thing that his, just his football side of it, the business side, his cap number, that's going to come into play. You can always break that down. But if you've just decided, you know what, we don't need this distraction because all of his teammates will say outwardly, well, it's his opinion, we support it. Maybe they'll find a couple that'll say, the guy's a complete a-hole and we don't support this stance at all, and that's not what I'm all about. There may be a few of those guys. But by and large, guys are going to walk in there today with their microphones. These poor saps are sent out from their newsrooms. They're going to say, we need a Colin Kaepernick story. And they're going to go out there, and they're going to rush to Colin. They're hoping that he's going to say something. He did something yesterday. He talked for, like, I think it was like almost 20 minutes yesterday about it. They're going to try to find some teammate to say something against him. They're going to try to find some teammate to say something positive about him. Chip Kelly's going to come out and say, we support Colin. And somebody should ask him, do you believe in his belief system on here? And then, but none of it has to do with on the football field. And so if this had happened to the Arizona Cardinals less than 2 weeks before the start of the NFL season, I think fans of the team would be pissed. I think you'd be really upset because everything now for all these players is going to be about that. So Colin Kaepernick decided to turn his stance, and I'm not calling him wrong here for that. He has his right to say what he believes. I don't agree with that. It makes me very uncomfortable. In fact, it makes me angry when I think about it. But he does have his right. I've said many times on this show that there are times when the national anthem is being played where I just want to walk out of the press box that I'm in because it's going to be 3.5 minutes of star search with names butchered and people just applying for a job, and that's not what the anthem stands for. We have this thing in our country, too, where if we don't put our hand over our heart, we're viewed as unpatriotic. Whose rule book are you going by? So, I mean, there's lots of different ways to discuss this. I think on the media side of things, it's going to be slammed down your throat hour after hour when you have MSNBC and Fox News and CNN jump into the fray, especially at the end of August before the season starts when there's nothing going on other than it's Trump against Hillary, unless the Donald decides to come here on Wednesday and go through his thing about borders. It's a slow news week. So this Kaepernick story, while it's one guy, one football player, acting, in my opinion, as somebody that's thinking about himself rather than everybody else on his team. But I can only say that it's his idea and it's his alone. Maybe it's his agent. Maybe it's the people alongside of him. But just if we're just talking football, would you take Colin Kaepernick on your team right now, Eric?
Right now?
Right now.
If I was... If I needed a quarterback?
You're Dallas, right? You just lost Romo. You have Dak Prescott. If you could trade for Colin Kaepernick, remember when Denver was trying to get Colin Kaepernick?
I'd have to say yes.
Okay.
Because he's proven it. He hasn't been great recently, but he's proven it. Dak Prescott has only proven it through the preseason. And we know everything changes when you get in the regular season.
Right.
The schemes get different. The defensive looks are completely opposite of what you're going to see than the just vanilla stuff in the preseason.
When you first heard this story, did you hear it Friday, Saturday?
I heard it Friday. And my initial thought was, don't agree with it, but it's his right.
Yeah.
That's what makes this country this country. He can do that. And he definitely wanted to make a statement by not... I mean, I guess he could have, like, just... When all the players line up along the sideline, I guess he could have been at the end of the front of the line and just sat down. But he wasn't even with his teammates. And someone in the press box...
And that says something.
It does.
If you're not with your teammates... Okay. You know, football, we use all these terms about war and all that stuff. If you've ever been down on a field, we're fortunate. You and I are blessed in that in our profession, we have stood down on the field right next to grown men. And the mayhem and the violence and the absolute putting your life on the line. And you may think I'm overstating it, but no, you can ask Daryl Stingley how it felt to be put in a wheelchair after Jack Tatum took him out. You don't know what's going to happen 30 years ago or today. And so for him not to be standing shoulder to shoulder with his teammates, does that speak ill of him? In my opinion, it does. It does. You've got to go out there and be fully engaged with your teammates. You can't be the one rogue guy that's like, I'm not going to go do that.
It was selfish. But again, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but it's his right to do that if that's what he wants to do.
You're not beating a dead horse. Let me advance it then. So this week in San Diego, he does it again. By the time we get to the third or fourth game of the season, You know, is he the only guy that's going to do this? Are we going to see college players do it? Are we going to see high school players do it? Are we going to see Pop Warner kids do it? Because we know that imitation happens.
Yeah, I'd have to say yes. I'd have to see. At some levels, like you said, college, even down the high school ranks, you're going to see people doing this.
There's a kid that has a Colin Kaepernick jersey or a Colin Kaepernick poster in his room. Last couple of years, I don't know why, because he hasn't played well, but nonetheless. And so when I saw the burning of the jerseys, that's predictable. I'll show you. I'll burn your jersey. Got it. Knock yourself out. I think that there was a little bit of calculation with this. I can't believe that it would just be him walking out on the field and saying, this is the day to do it. What was his agent's stance on this? He's going to make the circuit now. You know, he will. He'll make the circuit. He could go do The View. He could go do Ellen. He could go do the Today Show. That's a must get for like the Today Show. That's you know, the what he decided to do will make him more popular than ever in some people's eyes.
Well, and I wonder if he envisioned it blowing up as it did. I mean, I know he knew it was going to be a big story, but it was bigger than I think even he could have imagined.
Well, but it's something to where it's going to have a trickle-down effect, and there's going to be people that will draw sides on this. I think the sides will be about even. I saw where Peter did a poll on a Monday Morning Quarterback, and it was like 51 to 49. And I come down on the side of that's his right to express it the way that he wants. If he did something heinous, is that heinous what he's doing? Heinous is burning a flag, in my opinion. You know, there are levels of disrespect. And if he did that, I could not stomach that. I'm uncomfortable with him. I was not a fan of his as a player. And I guess if I'm the 49ers and I'm a week before the season starts, and I got to choose between him and Blaine Gabbert, and I got a $16 million deal, and I got this little thing going on to the side, what do I do there?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I'd love to crawl up inside Chip Kelly's brain right now. He's 2 weeks away from opening the season with a new team, a team that not many people are expecting much from.
Right.
And one of your potential starting quarterbacks goes and does something like this. I mean, expect the unexpected when you're an NFL coach. But on Friday morning, when we were sitting here, we could have sat here all day, Brad, and never envisioned anything happening like we saw Friday night.
But on that, Eric, when you see the story, is it just a bunch of nothing? Is it just we're in this space in sports where we have story after, is it Ryan Lochte lying in Brazil? What's the next sports scandal that comes along? And are people fatigued by that? Do people look at sports and say, you know, I got my boat. I can go out and I can fish. I can go travel. I can go anywhere around the world. I don't need to invest time in guys that decide to take political stances when all I want is my football.
In the age of social media, though, it's unavoidable. You're going to see it. If you want to hear about it, if you don't want to hear about it,
is it a turnoff?
After a while, absolutely it is.
Is it a turnoff where you just say, you know, sports used to be about wins, losses, four quarters, bats, balls, sticks, pucks. Now every time I turn around, it's who's dating whom.
With Lochte and Cap, these are crossover stories. So you're not only getting it from your sports center, but you're also seeing it on NBC's nightly news and the Today Show and every other national show out there.
But it's a backup quarterback taking a stance who happens to get paid a lot of money.
It's a high-profile backup quarterback, though. No, it's not Drew Stanton. It's Colin Kaepernick. So
Paula Bovin is next, AZ Central Sports columnist. We'll talk to Paula about this, the opening of Arizona State's week. We also have Jerome Sowers with us in about 20 minutes. Head football coach at Northern Arizona University, NAU, opens their season at Arizona State this Saturday night. Back with more after this timeout.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmatt.
News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin, also Professor Bovin. What is this, year two for you at Cronkite, your teaching?
Semester two, yes.
Semester two. Are you in your teaching, what class is it again?
Sports and media ethics.
So in your sports
and
media.
All kinds of stuff to talk about.
So you taught this morning, correct?
I did, yeah. Yep, I just finished up.
Colin Kaepernick come into your talk today at all?
He did not, but he may in the future. A lot of our stuff is sort of how media covers stuff and handles stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly plenty of fodder there. No question about it.
If we're looking at the Colin Kaepernick story today, what jumps out most at you from the weekend with Kaepernick?
You know, for me, if you're looking at it sort of post-hysteria, is just how much people's minds haven't changed from what they thought the first time. I thought when he spoke yesterday that sort of might shift some public opinion one way or the other, but it is still very, very divisive, and just has surprised me how... It shouldn't surprise me. I think anything you're anytime you're talking about patriotism and the flag and all that, I understand the sort of hysteria that surrounds it. But it is, people are still very, very fired up about it, and I thought it would die down a little bit.
Okay, from the football side, the guy hasn't played well. Guy's a big contract. Had to be thinking about this leading up to the game. Had to have. And so did he talk with his agent, and are the 49ers over a barrel? Because if they release him now, forget about the cap implications for a minute. Just put that to the side because there is that to deal with. If they release him today, then is it because he didn't perform well as a quarterback, or is it because of his stance or lack of stance for the anthem on Friday night? So I guess I'm looking at it from the football side first, that this is really interesting because he hasn't played well.
No, he hasn't, but, you know, first of all, I don't think any of this should impact how the team makes a decision about him on or off the field because, you know, he didn't break a rule, right? He did not break a rule.
Correct.
And he was sharing an opinion, which he is free to do. He was not criticizing management or his teammates. You know, some may say that his timing, well, some seem ill-advised since he's not in a great position for his on-the-field play. He mm-hmm. was being true to himself and not letting that influence his decision to speak. So for me, I don't think the team, this should not have any impact on how the team decides to keep him or not. I mean, you know, he was stating an opinion, and I thought he could have stated it differently, but that's his prerogative, and that was his feelings, and I never presumed to sort of understand the complexities of his experience and certainly of walking in the shoes of an African-American. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to criticize it, but I don't think it should impact how the 49ers handle him.
Okay, he was standing up by sitting down, essentially, is what his thought was on this. I guess I look at his teammates, and he did meet with his teammates to explain himself. The 49er captains, again, I'm only talking football here for a minute, but and so has he handled that part well? I think he has. If the organization releases him this week or moves him this week, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're better off going after Colin Kaepernick or having Dak Prescott, even though Colin Kaepernick has had this not standing up for the national anthem issue now rise up. You know, if we're just talking football, Paul, you want him on your team.
If we're just talking football, it depends on how desperate you are. Do I want him starting my NFL team? Absolutely not. I mean, there's been real inconsistencies. But if you talk about who else might be available, I mean, my goodness, you know, look at Mark Sanchez. He was great for 1 week, and then, you know, now they're starting, like, people you would never even imagine would start over him because he was so bad. So, you know, as we know, the field is very thin when it comes to NFL quarterbacks who can play and possibly start in the NFL. And, you know, Kaepernick is certainly a guy I would take a chance on because of what we've seen at times with him. There have been some very good highs with that guy and certainly some lows. But from a football standpoint, if he's going to be your, second, third quarterback, I don't think that's such a bad thing.
Okay, and I agree with you. If you're sitting there today and you've got Geno Smith you could go pursue, or you can go pursue Colin Kaepernick, I'm pursuing Colin Kaepernick. You know, John Elway chased Colin Kaepernick, we forget, before they ended up drafting Paxton Lynch. So I think there was enough talent there. Talking with Paula Bovin. So
it's a hard thing to do, Brad. I mean, starting or playing quarterback in the NFL, there's a very limited field. You need, for the most part, a certain size, a certain knowledge, and a certain level of experience. And there's just not that many guys who can do it.
So when Kaepernick plays Thursday in San Diego, which you know full well, you're just there. I've grown up there, a staunch military town. And, mm-hmm. and he gets the heck boot out of him, or however fans want to respond to him. What happens after that? Does this become just a shot during NFL broadcasts? Does the NFL league office say, don't show Kaepernick during the anthem? We don't see the anthem during a lot of games now. We'll see a piece of it, but we don't see the anthem played on television for the most part. Does this story just go out of the news cycle pretty quickly?
It's a great question, because I'm curious, you know, how directors are going to handle this issue. I mean, I think the first national anthem after this, while they might not cover it, I think the announcers, and certainly the print media will, but even I would think the announcers in the game, if they're being, you know, true to their audience, will at least address what just happened. Either he sat, he got booed, he got some support, whatever. I mean, I think that's a newsworthy part of it. But I think, like most storylines in sports, they have a shelf life, and I think this shelf life is nearing its end. You know, there's going to be something else that comes up, and I don't think every time he goes to a city and the national anthem comes on, it's going to remain a storyline again. So, you know, all these stories have a shelf life, and I think this one's probably pretty close to nearing its end now.
When you see Carson Palmer get smoked and his helmet flies off and he chips his tooth, do you want to bring the sledgehammer to the NFL and this whole thing about August football games? I know it's a tired topic. When I saw John Harbaugh say there shouldn't be any preseason, it's like I've been railing on this for 5 years now. I'm seeing the face of the franchise get smoked. Whether it was a dirty play or not by Devin Still is irrelevant. The fact is, when you put your best employees in harm's way and that happens, that should never happen in this stage of the National Football League.
We also know that the NFL won't do anything because it's such a, those preseason games are such a revenue generators. When people buy those season tickets, they're paying for those preseason games, and it's hard for them. I don't think they'll make the decision to, you know, I've always thought two or three would be a heck of a lot better than four. But I don't think it's going to change because, the NFL, they've been very good about figuring out how, ways to make money. They know they can get people in the stands. So I don't think it's going to change at all.
Okay, so the collective bargaining agreement expires in 2020. The players are already being told, save your money. This has got to be this. I have to believe, because the number of NFL players, prominent NFL players that I've talked to, have said to me, we hate preseason. We don't want to be out there. And I have to believe this is going to become a bargaining position of, okay, we'll reduce four down to two. You've got to give us two more weeks during the regular season, but something's got to give because there's too much anger from the players. And they don't express it publicly other than, like Fitz said, he called it drudgery last week. And that, for Larry, that's being kind to what he's told me directly about this stuff.
Right.
I just think this is going to be a bargaining position, that we're not going to see this 5 years, 8 years from now, that it's going to change in this next collective bargaining agreement.
Well, and I think it may decrease a little bit, but I will tell you something a player told me once, that as much as they hate it, they are also very aware of the revenue stream. And if it means, you know, that's going to change the minimum contracts and impact the salary cap, they're a little bit more open-minded to it than a lot of them would believe. So if they can figure out a way where it's not going to significantly impact, you know, the kind of money that they want in their contracts, then I think they'll go. My guess is maybe we'll go to a three preseason situation, but I don't think it's going to be cut any more than that.
Okay, now we go into the, is this just preseason? Let's not overreact. This is stuff that you and I have heard for 10 years, 15 years, 20, 30 years of being around pro sports. Oh, it's the preseason. You can't be upset that they're 0-3. Or do you look at it like I do and say, I don't care if the Texans didn't even have a scheme for the Cardinals and the Texans defense just smacked around Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton. Their quarterbacks have not played well, Paula.
No, and then, you know, when the problem is Bethel still looks like he is not, you know, he's not playing great. And then what happened with Jenkins? I mean, I think there's that, obviously that secondary is the real concern. I think the things with the offense are going to be just fine. You look at obviously the Johnson & Johnson backfield. And once you have Brown on the field and Carson on the field and Larry on the field at the same time again, I mean, I think their offense is going to be fine. But it certainly that secondary is an issue. And I think that's what's been exposed more than anything this preseason. And, yeah, we don't want to overreact because we also saw how well the Diamondbacks did in their exhibition season,
right,
you know.
Right.
So you have to sort of take it for what it is. And, as someone who's covered sports for a while, the respect I have for what Arians and Keim have done is very high. But the secondary, I think fans have every right to be concerned.
That little exchange between Arians and Carson was pretty interesting yesterday, though, for a preseason game. You saw that?
When they kind of went back and forth.
After the second one. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and that's kind of their relationship. I've talked to Carson a little bit about that. I mean, I think that's just, Arians is sort of notorious for yelling at a guy one minute and hugging him the next. That's kind of his philosophy. And so, I'm sure that their frustrations are high right now, and Arians is going to question any kind of decision making and things like that. But I wouldn't read too much. At least I'm not reading too much into it.
Okay, before you go, ASU opens Saturday night. How many wins for Todd Graham this year preseason do you see?
Preseason?
Yeah, we're sitting here. The first game is Saturday. What do you see for a number of wins as we come into the season?
I'm sorry, you were cutting out. Are you talking about the whole season or the preseason?
Yeah, the whole season. How many wins?
Whole
do you
season.
See?
They have how many games this year? They have.
I think that's 11.
11? Yeah, that's what I thought so too. Maybe 6-5.
Okay. All right. And is
kind of where I am with that. I think they're going to be better than people think, but because I think there's a lot of question marks in the Pac-12. But it's not going to be a stellar year by any stretch for this group.
Okay, U of A, how many wins do you think? About the same or a little more? You think their U of A is better than ASU?
I think it's a coin flip with those two. In fact, I'm interested to see both. I know obviously U of A is a tougher opponent on Saturday, but I think there's still a lot of questions with that team too. So flip a coin for me, Brad, with that. Who's going to have more wins?
All right, I'll let you go off that, Professor. Thanks.
All right, you too, Professor.
All right. Yeah, see you later. Yes, I have my class today. There's Paula Bova News and Notes. Jerome Sowers via Skype is next from Flagstaff as we get ready for Arizona State and NAU. And it'll be good to check in with him. That's on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Looking ahead towards Saturday night's game. This game for you right off the top, right out of the gate, I would think with the preseason pick, the expectations, Coach, you've got to feel like a lot of momentum coming into this game Saturday.
Well, I think the momentum you speak of is really an extension of our offseason. Really proud of the job the guys did, even last spring practice through the summer. They really took it upon themselves to have a great, great workout, and their ethic was unbelievable. So coming into camp, I thought we had some great momentum. The guys made some excellent strides. We've improved. Are we there yet? No, but we're certainly showing signs of being the kind of team that we want to be.
What does this game mean for your program on Saturday night, the in-state rivalry to start things out?
Well, the last one we played against Arizona wasn't very good. And in fact, the one 4 years ago against Arizona State wasn't very good either. I would like to see if we've made any progress in our program since then. Would really like to see, how we measure up to, the quality of teams that now exist at Arizona State and at Arizona. And I know our guys have worked very hard. They're working to put their best foot forward. And it's a venue. There'll be a lot of people and one that's, excited for any guy that's from Arizona or even from Southern Cal. So our team is looking forward to the huge challenge of playing a Pac-12 team.
And you've made such a commitment in state in your recruiting. You've done very well in Phoenix. So this is a big game for you, not just on Saturday night, but also as an overall program to open the eyes of coaches, players, and parents about what you're doing in Flagstaff, correct?
I believe that it showcases the programs in state. It really does. It's, we don't pretend to be, the cross-state rival like in Arizona is to Arizona State, but there's a lot of interest in this game where there might not be for another non-conference game for either school. So to be able to play this is an excellent exposure. It's a great platform. You know, this is a heck of a talented team we're going to be playing against, one which we don't know a lot about. But, you know, it's an opportunity that can't be wasted.
Your quarterback, Case Cookus, had a terrific season last year and is viewed as one of the top players at his position, not only at your division, but I think across the country and where he could go. This is a measuring stick game for him, I would think, Jerome, to see, okay, against this level of competition, a Pac-12 team, how does he perform? How are the progressions for Case Cookus? Would you agree with that?
I will, to a point. You know, having protection, route running, you know, our ability to run the football at all will dictate his effectiveness. He's at his best, obviously, when we're protecting and when we're, you know, we're running the football with some effectiveness. You know, I don't think any quarterback can come into a situation that adverse, you know, put it all on his back. We don't intend to. You know, I think we have other guys that can contribute, and we need to make sure that we spread our efforts out, not on one guy, but on the entire team that represents NAU.
Flip it around then on your defense. This is Todd Graham's new quarterback down here, whether it is Manny Wilkins, whether it's Brady White, whether it's a combination of them. How do you prepare as a defense for Saturday night?
Be honest with it, for the subtleties that exist, is very difficult. We have nothing from their camp. We have no idea what they're going to do. So we're going to be doing a lot of coaching from the second series on. You know, we believe that they're going to be a no-huddle spread. That's within the framework of their philosophy, that, you know, certain zone schemes will be in play, as well the, you know, their play action, RPOs, the things that they have run successfully, they've been very good for them. We would anticipate them showing some form of that. It's just getting the detail of what and what they're going to emphasize. We've got to be quick to learn, quick to adjust, to really downplay that disadvantage.
I'd be interested on Saturday night, Jerome, to see it, for you, the amount of NAU fans that come down or come up or around the state, given the preseason publicity around your program to pick to win your conference, A. B, it is a remake of Sun Devil Stadium. Whenever there is a new stadium, fans want to show up for the curiosity factor. I guess on your side of the street, do you have any idea about the representation you're expecting or hearing of Jack fans Saturday night?
Well, Lumberjack Nation has been pretty active in the last 4 or 5 months. It's been fun to see, you know, feeling energy that we haven't felt, you know, across the areas in our region. I know that there's been a lot of interest in the alum, a lot of interest in boosters going down from Flagstaff. To get my arms around exactly how many, it's always kind of tough to tell.
Sure.
But, I know that we are taking, you know, students down. They're filling buses up for that. So there's interest at all levels.
Well, best of luck. Appreciate your time, as always. And we'll see you on Saturday night, Coach. Thanks.
Thank you very much.